It's time for the Hockey Minute, your source for all of today's hockey news with some opinion. Strap in for the fastest news in the NHL. This episode is proudly brought to you by fucking nobody. We don't have any sponsors. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon and Ryan.
And here we are. Welcome back to another edition of the Hockey Minute. I am your host, Brandon. With me, as always, my co-host, Ryan. And before we get into today's incredible show, look, we need your help to grow our show. And the best way you can do that is just subscribe with whatever podcatcher you use. Steal your friend's phone, subscribe there too. Leave us a review on iTunes, a voicemail if you're fired up about something we said or something you think we should be doing better. I promise we'll play it on the podcast. All right, let's get into it, Ryan. How you doing, man?
But I'm so excited. I mean, they're lifting these restrictions very shortly here in British Columbia. And this just means I get to be around people, because I was getting to a point where I'd order pizza every, you know, Wednesday and Saturday, and I was saving the boxes, drawing faces on them like Tom Hanks in Castaway, just to talk to people. So very exciting time. And it's getting to be that time of the year as well, where we get to be outside.
Yeah.
Sucks there's no playoff hockey right now, but you know, life is getting better, and I'm really looking forward to what's to come in the future here. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just picturing your little heart breaking when your regular driver doesn't show up for your Wednesday delivery.
Oh yeah, his name's Stu. So shout out to Stu. This guy, he's a very nice guy. I actually, quick story, I messed up the first day that I ordered. Because my debit card, I was holding it too close to the machine, and before I could tip, it just went through. And so I basically had to order another pizza like 2 days later, and I tipped him like $15. I was like, I'm so sorry. In these times, I don't know if they spat on the pizza. I didn't get sick, but I did have to clarify that. I was like, it was an accident.
You probably should have called and clarified before you ordered the second one.
I did, yeah, but still, I was like, I don't know. It's a tough time, man. I've told the story about, you know, my trip to the grocery store, how people get, you know, very antsy and stuff.
It's, oh yeah.
You know, you don't know what's going on in people's minds, but yeah. So, I mean, like I say, the life's good, but it's good.
All right, man. Well, I think we should get into our news blast for May 19th. A Saskatchewan hockey player comes out to his teammates.
The AHL moves to cancel the remainder of their season.
A doctor suggests full face shields, no fighting if hockey is to return.
And George LaRocque has challenged Mike Tyson to a celebrity boxing match. Whew.
All right, let's get into it. So, Ryan, Brock Weston is the player that came out in Saskatchewan. I believe he plays for an NCAA Div 3 team. He came out to his teammates in April of 2019 and just finished his first full season as an out athlete. Now, that's pretty incredible. I'm pretty sure you have kind of some more background info on the story to fill us in.
Yeah, I actually reached out to Brock, and we're going to get him on the show. But
awesome.
He had a podcast come out on a podcast called The Outfield. And I gave it a listen, and he's got a very incredible story. I mean, not just with coming out, but just his whole life. Like, he lived in a very small town, and he touched on that, just how they have to drive, you know, 50 minutes to, like, 5-0 to get to the nearest Tim Hortons. They didn't, you know, he said they had dial-up internet up until about 10 years ago. And so he's got an incredible story. I'm looking forward to having him come on. But just, it's a huge step in hockey in general, because it's like the first person to run the 4 minute mile, mm-hmm. You know, the first guy to run the 4 minute mile. Shortly after that, everybody was running a 4 minute mile. And I think now Brock is, you know, just a huge role model in the gay community for athletes and for hockey players especially. And so it's, you know, I read the article. You can go check it out. If you just type in Brock Weston on Google, I'm sure it'll be one of the first things that comes up. You know, it sounds like the captain of the team, who's also his best friend and roommate at school, is just a huge source of support for him as well. So it was just a really really moving article that was written, and I'm looking forward to getting him on the show to share more with us. But I mean, this has got to be a huge thing, right? For gay athletes, gay hockey players, right?
Yeah, man. It's honestly just like, it's inspiring and pretty incredible. Like to read the story, they've got a nice piece on globalnews.ca. Maybe we can throw a link in the show notes if people are interested. But you know, he penned this multi-page letter that he, you know, of coming out to his teammates, and he read it in front of his team, man. Like, the fucking balls that takes, that's incredible. Like, Man, I have a hard time leaving a note on somebody's windshield if I bump them. I can't imagine that process. And I mean, Brock actually said, here's a quote from him. He says, "I was absolutely shell-shocked. I was shaking. Tears were coming before I got to, you know, the line." You know, obviously he was able to get through it, and he's had a very positive response, just judging by the fact that he managed to play the following full season with his team. But I mean, huge tip of the cap to him. You know, he's got to be proud. Everybody in his life has to be proud of the work that he's doing there. And I can only imagine he's going to be considered a real role model going forward for anybody who's still closeted playing in either pro or amateur sports.
Yeah, and I think in this day and age too, it's a lot more, you know, people are open-minded, right? We live in Vancouver. We have massive pride parades out in Vancouver. Yeah. And I guess I shouldn't speak for everybody. I just think that, like, where we live, it's just so common. I mean, I grew up, one of my closest friends from sixth grade onward, you know, might have been sixth grade, knew he was gay, and it just was sort of, you know, he was just another guy, right? It was we still like the same stuff. We still like video games and music and that kind of stuff. And it just, I think today society is a lot more accepting, and, you know, it's still got to be tough for Brock to come out to his team. And for people that maybe don't play hockey, you got to understand, especially when you're at school, I never played, you know, NCAA or anything like that. But even if I was just playing in my community and had to pen a letter like that to read to the team, you go to war with your team every game, right? Your brothers, it's 15 to 20 guys that you're just in the foxhole together. So the fact that he talks about just how emotional it was, I totally can see why that would be the case. Mm-hmm. Because even though you go to battle with your team every night, you know, it's still got to be intimidating. But it sounds like it was just a very positive reception, and like I say, we'll have him on the show to talk more about it. But
yeah, that's super exciting.
Sounds like his friend lost, and there's a reason why that guy's captain, because the article touched on it as well as the interview that I heard with him. Lawson was definitely the driving force here to give him that extra nudge and that courage to address it. And so it's a great thing moving forward. So the AHL announced this week that they're going to cancel the remainder of their season. But I've heard a lot of people say, well, this is just an implication that the NHL is probably next on the list of leagues to shut down. But it's a bit of a different dynamic here, because the AHL is a lot of riding buses, and it's not nearly as a profitable league. Yeah. But, I mean, do you think that this correlates with the NHL potentially shutting down soon, or is this a totally separate thing altogether?
Yeah, I think it's totally unrelated. The AHL is a fairly gate-driven league, right? They won't be able to turn a profit if they don't have butts in the seats. They don't have the lucrative TV deals that the NHL has. It's the same reason that the CFL has canceled their season, right? They're 100% a gate-driven league. Even if they hold up somewhere for 2 months and played some tournament style, they would be losing money on the season, which is something the CFL obviously can't afford to do, and the AHL is in the same boat. So, it makes perfect sense to me. You want to make sure that your league can maintain its integrity going forward. You don't want to try and risk everything for a shitty season where people can't be in the stands anyway. The NHL is lucky enough. They've got some great TV deals in place. And the gate revenue is going to hurt. Obviously, they're going to have some cap implications that we're going to see coming forward. But as far as canceling the league because the AHL canceled, I think that's a bit crazy. How about you?
Well, the thing with the cap, though, is that, so I saw through the Washington Capitals press release that they were going to call up when and it was weird how it was worded. I think, you know, if you go on YouTube and you see the NHL's YouTube page, they always talk about, here's the top 10 David Pastrnak goals so far, you know, right. And they make it sound like it's for sure going to be a thing where we see hockey again this year. The Capitals did call up a couple of guys, and they said, when the league, and it was when the league resumes, not if. They called up a couple of guys. And so I think I was actually listening to a podcast with Elliot Friedman. He was a guest on Mike Vogel's podcast, who does a podcast for the Capitals. And Friedman said, I guess they're going to look at maybe just, there's no, in the playoffs, there's no salary cap, right? So they said, well, we might just see teams run with 50 different guys. Like, you could potentially call up your entire American League team, or maybe the top 10 American League players on your American League team. Yeah. to help you during the playoff run for a myriad of reasons, right, guys? Some guys are probably, like we talked about this before, some guys are probably just sitting around not doing a whole lot, yeah. Right? I see Ilya Kovalchuk's working out with his kids and his wife every day, but I can imagine a lot of guys are just not really able to do much if you live in an apartment building with no way to really get a workout in. So I do think that we're, you know, the cap issue may not be as big of an issue. I think the league might even just look the other way and say, you know what, if you want to call up your entire AHL team,
right,
go for it, because guys will be getting hurt, guys will be getting fatigued, yeah, right? So, and if they're not taking away guys from the American League, it almost makes sense. Now, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, because I'm sure that just makes it a lot harder logistically when you're doubling the amount of players per team, mm-hmm, to shack up in a hotel somewhere and then play. But you know, I don't think it correlates so with the NHL. I mean, the NHL, the NBA, and the MLB, those are all the major sports leagues. And, you know, it's going to be business as usual, I think. It doesn't really correlate quite like people are saying.
Yeah, I think one thing people might not understand either is just how little AHL players make on average, right? Like, most of these guys are working basically blue collar wages. There's the occasional players that are making over 100 grand, but they're few and far between, right? These guys aren't making big bucks, so it's probably a pretty big hit for them to be losing their work for the rest of the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think if you're a top prospect, I'm just thinking of a family friend that was drafted, and I think his AHL deal was in the low six figures.
Yeah.
But that was off of his entry level deal, right? I mean, most guys are making 60 grand a year, which is still good money to play hockey, but I mean, that's really no different than what a lot of people in a lot of industries have gone through in the last couple of months here with this pandemic, right? If you're not playing, and I don't know if those guys do get paid, right? It's, you know, some companies are able to pay their employees even though they're not working, but we saw it with the East Coast League too. I mean, there's a reason why Spit and Chicklets and Barstool and a bunch of companies that have kind of jumped on board with that, they've all pitched in, you know, $10,000 to help pay those East Coast League guys too. So, you know, it's interesting. It sucks for those guys, but at the same time, for some of them, it's going to be actually really exciting, because maybe they weren't going to get called up,
right,
for an NHL playoff run, and this might be their shot to kind of be a hero in some way potentially.
Yeah, there's going to be 24 teams that have 24 black aces.
Yeah, exactly. I might even sneak on there. I don't know. I mean, if it's in Vancouver, I might just pack a bag and just head down.
Let's just not get crazy. All right. So a doctor suggests full face shields, no fighting if hockey is to return. According to Ryan Michaud, who had a doctor speak to him on TSN on Monday, they're looking at full face shields, potentially modified to further reduce the spread of droplets, no fighting, no scrums after whistles for linesmen to break up, coaches to practice social distancing and wear face masks on the bench, wingers to maintain 2 feet of distance on faceoffs instead of the traditional crossing of sticks and leaning into the same space, and no spitting on the bench. I'm sorry if I was laughing when I was reading that. It's just too fucking silly to even get through it. Like, are we even still playing hockey here?
Yeah, I question if that doctor's ever seen playoff hockey before. I mean, how many, like, even guys like Ryan O'Reilly, who are Lady Bing winners when it comes to the playoffs, they're out there, they're getting into scrums. You know, we just talked about it with Brock Weston. You go to battle with your teammates every night. And if we're talking about a 24-team playoff potentially, you don't think that stuff's going to happen on the ice? Like, guys are going to, especially with the face mask thing. I mean, that to me, just a quick story just to show how goofy I think it is. I mean, I was a soft player when I played, but in summer league one night I ran a goalie because he kept coming out of the crease, kept basically protecting the puck to the point where you know my team couldn't get it, and nobody hit him and nobody really went near him. And finally one shift I just went out and I bumped him and he fled like Mike Smith, and and I ended up getting jumped by two guys, but they were punching me in the face mask, right. And I remember just not being able to move, but being like, you guys are so, you know, like, I won't repeat exactly what I said, but I was just kind of going, this is doing nothing, right? You guys are not causing any damage here. And I think in the playoffs, it's a totally different animal. They're talking about no fighting. Well, that's bound to happen. There's no scrums after whistles. Again, I think that actually opens up a door for more players to try to do things that...
More stick work, more bullshit.
Yeah, right? You know, you're poking the goalie.
Yep.
The the wingers to maintain 2 feet of distance on faceoffs. Like, that's, again, it's like, man, what do you really expect? The face mask thing too. Those face masks do have breathing holes, and I get what the doctor's saying. Yeah. It's gonna further reduce the spread of droplets. But still, like, the only plus to those face masks is Brad Marchand can't be licking guys in the nose. Outside of that, I just don't see how it creates a safer game in a way, because I think guys will get away with, they'll be taking more liberties, like you said.
Yeah.
And it, you know, like, it almost, I hate to say it, but it would almost suck to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Because the whole point of playoff hockey is that intensity, that aggression. You know, you sit on your couch, you get fired up because your team is going to go out there and, you know, maybe it's Jordy Ben goes out and drills somebody, and the whole bench is up and they're fired up. The team's suddenly got this boost of energy.
Yep.
And, you know, if a guy pokes at Jacob Markstrom or you know, Braden Holtby or whoever, I want to see guys jump in and defend their goalie. Yeah. And you're saying, oh, you can't do that. Well, that just means that an agitator like a Matt Tkachuk can skate by, poke at Jacob Markstrom,
yeah,
and immediately skate away. And you're asking a bunch of testosterone-fueled NHL players to respect social distancing. I can't see it happening.
No, man, it's honestly lunacy. Like, I'd like to see a poll put up where it's like, what would the more exciting game be? Would it be an all-star game, or would it be a playoff game played under these rules? And I think it'd be pretty close, because, yeah, like, there's no excitement there. They basically built it in to be the most boring game of hockey you could watch if they stuck to the rules, which, like you're saying, I don't think they would. I mean, once these guys get fired up, there's going to be a scrum, you know, first period. I don't think we're going to get much farther than that. So I think this thing's pretty much dead on the vine.
The only thing that I could think of that maybe is a trade-off is if, and I didn't see anything about players wearing face masks as well. Like, they're talking about the full face shields. I would think if you're wearing a mask, I'm not sure what material it would need to be, but if guys are wearing face masks, like the what do they call them? The N95 masks or whatever.
Yep.
As well as the face shields, maybe that's kind of the trade-off. Is like, okay, you know, if you feel the need to get in a guy's face.
Oh, man.
You can do that. I don't know how hard it is to breathe, especially if you're...
I have to work in those in hot conditions. Oh, okay. They're fucking terrible, dude.
So it's tough to breathe?
It's so hard to breathe.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
All right,
yeah.
Well, then it shows, yeah, yeah. I'm not a doctor, but I was just thinking that might be the trade-off, is if they're saying, hey, you know, you can't get in that guy's face unless you're wearing the mask, then okay, well, yeah, you know, maybe the scrums can happen. And
that would be so funny, eh, to see a bunch of masked guys like jabbing each other with gloves. I don't know, I just get such a kick out of that.
But I think in a way it would be kind of cool too, and I mean, I'm sure Gary Bettman and NHL's marketing listens to our podcast.
Definitely.
You could have like the logo of the team too, like on the mask, right? And
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Like Wes McCauley's the ref. He's got his face mask on. It's like a skull, like those bikers wear. Like, just like, it's like a face tattoo almost. But yeah, that kind of stuff too. I mean, they could have fun with it. I just personally, I don't like it. And the more I hear about what would need to be put in place, the more I'm kind of thinking, why don't we just... like, why don't we just cancel the season?
And
of note too, like Philip Deneau, he actually had an interesting quote. We didn't talk about this last week because he said this a couple weeks ago. He made a good point. He's got a young kid, and he said, you expect me to take 2 or 3 months off from being around my son? And I don't know how old his son is, but Philip Deneau's like in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
And he said, you expect me to take 2 or 3 months off from seeing my family, my kid, to go play, and I'm not allowed to come home and visit. I'm not, you know, he goes like, I don't want to do that.
No,
and you've got kids, so I'll kick it over to you. But I mean, if someone said, hey, Brandon, you got to go work here, you're basically isolated for 3 months, and this is the only way that you, well, and then the NHL, they don't even get paid for playoffs. Yeah. But if they said, you got to go here and you're going to hang out in a hotel for 3 months, you're not going to see your kids. I mean, is that something that you're chomping at the bit to do?
Oh man, you couldn't pay me enough to do it. Man, honestly, like my kids are young. I'm sure his are young too. I've got a 2 and a 3 year old, and to miss a quarter of a year, it's just, there's untold things that you'd miss, man. You'd be coming back to a different kid, and to be abandoning them in their eyes for that long is hard. So I totally get it from his perspective. It's I don't know. You're probably right. I think they should probably just consider bringing it back properly, or just not at all. Like let's just wait, because the stress and apparently the quality of the game isn't quite going to be there. And just a quick note on the CBA, like people will sometimes bring up the fact that hockey players should just wear masks or visors of cages all the time because of the stick work that happens and the injuries that they get to their eyes and stuff. It's actually written into the CBA that players are only allowed to wear full face masks or visors if there's a medical condition or, you know, basically a note from their doctor, essentially. And maybe they'd give that for the COVID thing. But the fact is that they don't want it in the league. They're trying to keep it out. They want players to have marketability. And there's a reason that NBC and these American broadcasters have been pushing for years to end the playoff beard. It's because they want to see these guys' faces and sell it in the States, for real. And so I just think this, from every angle, this doctor's suggestion is just living in fantasy land.
Yeah, they're going to do only like half the league too. Like they're going to be like, well, this guy is not quite that appealing to look at. Like, you know, like Mike Ricci's going to wear a mask, but Gabriel Landeskog, no. Yeah, he's exactly. You know, if anything, we want him no helmet too. Let the hair flow in the wind as he's buzzing around. But you're right. I think that they just have to look at this and go, what are we going to compromise here in order to bring back hockey? Like you're taking the intensity out of the Stanley Cup, and it's going to be if they do come back and they do this, dude, like the team that wins the Stanley Cup is, I don't want to say it's going to be an asterisk, but I do feel like,
it is for sure an asterisk, man. Like that's a 24, if it ends up being a 24 team play in with all the random bullshit thrown in, it will 100% have an asterisk. So, like at least in my heart, looking at that, like that's a weird year, man.
Yeah. But I just mean like if a team who's incredibly skilled, for instance, and really faces no adversity because there's not a lot of physicality, there's not a lot of the mixing up in the scrums and stuff, like that's almost a part of it. Like, you know, when the Capitals won a couple of years ago, and as always with the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's like once the playoffs are over, that's when you get the laundry list of injuries that guys had.
Yeah.
And so when you hear about guys that are playing with, you know, a dislocated shoulder and a, you know, three broken toes from blocking a shot and stuff, when you win, it makes it all that much more sweeter because you're going, this guy probably every day got up and thought, I'm in so much pain, I don't want to play, but you know what you're playing for, right? And so if a team goes and, I don't want to say coasts through the cup playoffs, but there are some teams that are incredibly skilled. Like we talk about Calgary, right? I mean, they got Johnny Gaudreau and stuff like that. Guy, when in the playoffs roll around, he disappears because it gets too tough.
Yeah, these are Johnny Gaudreau's playoffs for sure.
So that's what I mean. If he sets the world on fire and has like a Conn Smythe winning playoff run, and it's like, well, yeah, it's because nobody could touch you because, you know, the World Health Organization said, you know, you got to maintain 2 feet away from each other. So, I don't think it would be that great for the atmosphere.
No, I like just to touch on your last point there, I don't think any team is pushing harder for these rules than Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one team that I actually thought about. So we'll finish up with this. This was an interesting story. George LaRocque sends a fairly innocent tweet towards Mike Tyson about setting up a charity boxing match. Did you see the video of Tyson just, you know, basically training, it looked like?
Yeah.
53 years old. He was chucking them pretty good. I mean,
I wouldn't want to get involved.
Yeah. LaRocque is younger, and I don't know about his health. I know that he was in the hospital with COVID and released very quickly after being, entered into the hospital. But in that fight, I mean, if we do the tale of the tape, it's pretty one-sided in terms of height and reach.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you look at LaRocque, he's a couple inches bigger, and obviously his wingspan's going to be a little bit longer, but I have a hard time discounting Mike Tyson in anything involving punching. Even if he's on skates, I'd probably give him a couple of weeks to probably dust George LaRocque. I just think he's an absolute animal. I mean, I don't know if you caught the Joe Rogan where Mike Tyson was on there, but he was talking about going to see a hypnotist when he was in his teenage years to just turn him into a fucking animal, like to not have an off switch for just murdering whoever was in his path. And I just, for some reason, I don't think George LaRocque has gone through that same level of programming.
No, George, if you remember that famous clip where he goes up, I can't remember, I think it was Rytus Ivinen's, when LaRocque was in Phoenix, and he's like mic'd up and he goes, hey, you want to go? And he's like, yeah, square up. And then he just goes, okay, bud, good luck. Like, do you think Mike Tyson before a fight was doing like the glove tap? He's like, all right, well, good luck. No, he's like, I'm going to bite your fucking ear off. So that's what I'm going to do. So that's, I think the intensity would be very one-sided. I do think looking at the height, Tyson's listed at 5'10" and LaRock is listed at like 6'4", 6'5". So you're kind of thinking here, okay, this is a guy who I think LaRock, and he says, well, we could do it for charity, but you just touched on it. Tyson has been reprogrammed to just
exactly.
The fight or flight kicks in. He's like, I'm going to fight. Yeah. So
I don't think Mike Tyson has a charity mode, right? It's like murder or off.
There's no doubt about it.
Hopefully we could, honestly, man, I would love to see it. Like with the amount of sports we have going on right now, fuck it, right? Like let's get him in a hockey rink. Let's get him in a boxing ring. And we'll do best of five or whatever it ends up being. I'm down.
Yeah, they should do that. Like they do like one fight in a boxing ring, and then the other fight is on the ice with jerseys, so that LaRock can just get the LaRock gets the. I think he's a lefty too, so he grabs onto the jersey with the right hand and starts chucking up with the left, and then it's like they come up with something crazy for the tiebreaker. It's like they stand on logs in like a pond and they have to fight that way.
American like Gladiator with those big fucking batons.
Yeah, right. And they just, okay, this is how we're going to do it. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And the fact that LaRock is even open to this is just kind of funny because I think in a way, I'm sure that there are people that are, fighters in the NHL that have always kind of wondered, I wonder how I would do facing off against, a Conor McGregor or, some sort of UFC or some boxer, right?
Yeah.
So it would be an interesting kind of cross promotional thing, much like we saw with those NHLers that did figure skating on a reality show on CBC.
Yeah.
This is obviously going to be a little more entertaining because it's a couple of guys just trucking knucks, but
more entertaining. But they're also trying to take it out of the game, right? Fighting in general. So I don't think we're ever going to see it glorified in the way that we're kind of promoting here, but it would definitely, I'd watch that over Battle of the Blades any day.
Hey, listen, we just talked about what the NHL's got to do here for entertainment value for the playoffs. Like, get Mike Tyson on the ice. I don't care. Put him on the fourth line and just have him out there just to crack some heads if needed. So yeah, it's interesting. I mean, who's your ideal fight in a, like a cross league or a cross promotion? Doesn't even have to be like a boxer versus an NHLer. It could be an NHLer versus like Chris Hemsworth.
Oh man, that's tough. He'd have to be in his Thor outfit for sure. At least that way I could get my wife's involvement.
Oh, she's a big Chris Hemsworth fan?
Yeah, just anybody who's in any shape that's not a potato, basically.
So I'm guessing you guys don't watch a lot of movies then.
No, we don't watch any TV with the kids. Yeah, we're pretty boring. We watch Mr. Rogers and something like that maybe once a day for half an hour. That's about it.
Yeah, but your wife is like, oh, that new Brad Pitt movie looks good. You're like, no, we're not watching.
Oh, no, I'm far too insecure to ever let her see anybody who looks like anything. So yeah, it's all Mr. Rogers because he's 85 years old. No, as far as the hockey fight, man, we're kind of the same vintage, so we grew up during the last dying days of the Enforcer, so I'd probably like to see just a real meathead Enforcer, like whoever was kind of king of the late 90s, like maybe
Ty Domi.
Yeah, well, that's who first came to mind, but I was thinking of Bob Probert, actually, but he's obviously not with us anymore, but like a prime Bob Probert versus just like any NBA player, pick your toughest NBA player and then just put him on the court. I'm genuinely curious to see how that plays out. Like I know NBA athletes are phenomenal athletes, rather. They're just, they've got almost everything, but the hockey players have next level balance. Yeah. So I'd be really curious to see how that went. Cause if you can't take somebody down to the ground, it doesn't really matter how big you are. So
yeah, I did see on the Hockey Minute Reddit post there, that was a big topic of conversation, was people really seem to think that basketball players would wipe the floor with an NHL player in a fight. But
yeah, I didn't get that.
You made a good point. The balance is just, it's in, like the athleticism as well.
Yeah.
A lot of NHL guys are just crazy athletic for, it doesn't matter what size they are, but yeah, I love both sports. I don't like getting into the whole, my sport's better than your sport, but I think people wildly overestimate, the toughness of an NBA player as well as coordination, because I've never been 6'9", but I would imagine that it's a little bit tougher than being 5'10" you're trying to, just kind of your motor skills and everything like that, your coordination are a little bit slower, but But yeah, I mean, if this does happen with Larocque and Tyson, that's a huge draw.
Honestly, I'd be there, man. Even if they made it a pay-per-view for charity, I'd throw in. Like, I think that a lot of people would love to see that happen, and hopefully it can.
All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for us. As always, you can find us on Spotify, Apple, Anchor, and Overcast. You can leave a rating on Apple. Let us know what your thoughts are. You can leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page as well, Hockey Minute on Anchor. And like I said, leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you guys like, what you want us to talk about. Leave us some ideas for episodes, because there's not a whole lot going on right now. So
there's no doubt about it.
Thank you again for all the support, Brandon. As always, a pleasure doing this with you, and everybody stay healthy.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. From Ryan and Brandon, we'll catch you next time on the Hockey Minute.
We'd like to take a second to thank you, the listener, for joining us. And a big thanks goes to our writers and production team, Jules, Mark, and Matt. We couldn't do this without you.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Hockey Minute, as well as leaving voicemails on our Anchor page at Hockey Minute. And always make sure to subscribe to whichever platform you listen to your podcasts.
That's going
to
do it for us. This is Brandon and Ryan. We'll talk to you next time on The Hockey Minute.
Do you want to? Oh, Jesus Christ. How many voice cracks can I have?